Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 28th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always remains the same. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Our agenda absolutely clear. We believe in the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America. We also believe in the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Holy Bible. And we furthermore believe the brilliance of the founders to put in checks and balances to restrict power. We don't seek for power, ladies and gentlemen, but we do seek to pull it down. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you had an absolutely delightful Easter holiday. Pray you were able to focus on God, family, and country. You know what? I hope you had an absolute memorable time. I know that I did. An opportunity to go to church, participate in what we call the sacrament, or a symbol of the Last Supper, to participate in renewing my commitments to my Savior Jesus Christ, to keep his commandments and follow him, and an opportunity to truly realize that he has risen. We bear solemn witness that he has risen, and consequently, we will rise again as well. The resurrection is made available to all because of the suffering and ultimately the resurrection, the conquering of death by the Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We don't back away from talking about godly principles, things that relate to religion. You know, I had some people tell me, Sam, we could make you a very important rock star type talk show host if you'd quit talking about God so much, and God's out, I'm out. It's that simple, people. And that's why we own a little radio network, Liberty News Radio, and people say we don't matter a darn. We're just tiny. We don't make a difference. Oh, but when they want to attack us, they sure decide we make a difference, don't they? When they want to admit it, well, they never want to admit it, I guess. But when they have to, then they let their guard down. They show their cards. And that is that we do matter way more than they can possibly imagine. Our little old network got Donald Trump Jr. to disavow us. He was so afraid of the mainstream press. I wrote an open letter to Donald Trump Sr., and he's too chicken to even deal with it. He can take on Hillary, but he doesn't dare. He doesn't dare tell the mainstream press and Hillary Clinton and all the others to fly a kite and talk to Sam Bushman. He's too chicken to do that, folks. Isn't that an interesting twist? Anyway, I digress. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir. You want to talk about Easter a little bit before we get started here?
Sure, Sam. Yeah. You know, Easter, at least to me, you know, I mean, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's pretty much no hope out there. So I'd say that would be the greatest news story of all time. You know, I mean,
yeah, the resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ. Just imagine the ability to conquer death, Kurt.
Yeah, that is one big headline. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not if you're the mainstream press.
Well, I know, but I'm just
like, hey, did you get drunk for Easter and take Uber home like you would responsibly do so? That would be their headline, right?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I don't remember what I did last night, but I know Uber took me home. I got my receipt. That's how they would roll.
Good point.
And then we'd talk about Christ and stuff like that, and then they'd call us religious zealots. And see, the showdown just happens, folks. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we, as our Savior before us, realize we've been persecuted and abused and maligned and everything else for what we stand for. And all I'm telling you is I'm in good company, Kurt. You're in good company, my friend.
Yeah, you shouldn't expect to just kind of roll through this life. It's supposed to be a test, and there's supposed to be opposition.
And boy, you're not disappointed, are you?
You know, I mean, it's just the way it's...
By the way, I don't know if you had a roast rabbit for, you know, they talk about the Easter Bunny and stuff like that. You didn't have roast rabbit yesterday, did you, Kurt?
I certainly could have opted in for that. It just wasn't on the or in the cards, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I did see rabbits. You know, I mean, I went walking with the dogs up the mountains and, you know, had them scare out a few rabbits, but didn't see them that close, you know. I mean, not within forks distance, if you will.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, I had, pig and turkey.
Yeah, you were doing a little ham, at least that's what we did, a little ham and potatoes.
We had honey-baked ham and smoked turkey, buddy.
Very good.
Mashed potatoes, green beans, corn, rolls, salad, you know, the whole bit.
There you go.
It was fantastic, and it was a day to spend with family. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
All right, last broadcast, which was Friday, just so you know. Scott Walker says GOP could end up with a nominee that's not even in the race, Kurt. Any idea who that might be? You suggested Friday maybe Scott Walker himself, huh?
Well, at least if I were forced to pick somebody that's not in the race, I'd pick somebody like a Ron Paul or something. But Scott Walker certainly was in the race earlier. He's not in there now.
Yes, sir. Good point.
You know, he could be picked, but like you say, I really think just if they do that kind of thing, it's going to be one heck of a meltdown. But
yeah,
we see meltdowns pretty much as regular.
Operation. Now, Kurt, Donald Trump did say, you know what, if you guys play games with the process at the convention or whatever, you know what, you're going to have a riot on your hands. And then they all blamed him for violence and riots and everything. It's ridiculous. He's just telling you that it won't go well if you do that. And I would agree with Trump. I don't preach violence ever, people. You can't find a single time where I'm preaching violence because I don't do it. However, I will say this, though. It won't go well. It's just not a smart move to just circumvent the electorate like that. It will not go well. I'm telling you right now. Now, it might be a Paul Ryan. It might be a Mitt Romney. I don't know who they'll draft, but Scott Walker's point that, you know what, you might end up with a nominee that's not even in the race, he might be right about that. I hope he's wrong. Not because I like who are in the race right now, but because I don't like, again, messing with the electorate, tampering with the rules. Again, it just creates more and more and more mistrust. All right.
You know, the amazing thing, when you really look at how the whole thing is set up, I'm not just talking about the Republicans, but the Democrat deal. I mean, the deeper you look, the more it just smells to high heaven. I mean, it's just one. I mean, it's almost worse than the income tax.
Well, the founders, focused on that quite a bit and told us not to be involved in there, Kurt, for that very reason.
Right.
Now we're just seeing
the
horrible effects of what was told, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, God telling us, obey the commandments. If you do, you'll be blessed. And if you don't, it won't go well for you. And then we run around and everything melts down. And then we're like, I don't know why things aren't going well for us. It's like, hello, people. And then I run around and say that. Yeah. And they're like, you just got a weak mind. Your religious beliefs are just a crutch.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. You guys say what you want as you continue to melt down and wonder why. And then I tell you why, and you just go, that's just evidence of a frenzied mind.
Yep.
And then, in my opinion, you know, you do things and they go right, and then you do other things and they go wrong. It should be a realistic parallel you could, like, figure out in 2 seconds. You should be able to go, maybe I don't believe in religion or not, but when I do these things, things go well. And when I don't do these things, things go badly. You would think that they'd get it, but they don't. They just run around and tell you that I've got a frenzied mind or that I've got a conversational crutch, you know. It's crazy. All right, the feds, I guess they're claiming it cost $6+ million to deal with and clean the area in Oregon occupied by the ranchers at the refuge. They say it's $6 million. $4 million to clean that sucker up and then $2 million to deal with the problem while they were occupying. And they go on and tell you how much they're going to upgrade the system and everything else in that. And they don't really break down the budget. Again, less trust of government every second. $6 million? Are you kidding me? How much did it cost to run that refuge daily anyway? See, let's start to just drill into some real numbers there. If we're going to talk budgets, let's just take off the gloves and talk budgets. But I don't know. Then they'll just dismiss it and say you're a right-wing fanatic, and that's the end of the discussion, huh? It's just amazing how they roll. All right, I guess San Francisco's settling a lawsuit over a scripture ban. I guess police officers violated this guy's First Amendment rights. They surrounded him and forcefully removed him from the, what, San Francisco Government Plaza. He was represented by our buddies down there at the Rutherford Institute, and he won. They had a settlement with San Francisco. I guess individual D, they're not going to give any names. They're going to testify at the Dennis Hastert, sentencing, I guess it is. Invasive carp. We talked about those fish. They're costly as could be. All right, we'll talk more about it, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
So, seen any good movies lately?
No, not really.
Why do you say it like that?
It's just that those movie trailers are so deceptive. You know, like I'll see a commercial for something that looks like a really fun romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I go to the theater and, well, that's $7.50 I'll never see again.
Disappointed?
Disgusted is a better word. Hey, I did finally find a way to know a movie's content before I go see it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's this website, PluggedInMag.com. Hmm. Lets me choose the movies I want to see intelligently. Tells me what's good about a movie, what's bad. Not only that, but it does the same thing with music and TV shows. What's wrong?
Well, we just walked out of a movie last week. Makes me wish I'd checked it out first. Plugged In, huh?
PluggedInMag.com. Make sure you get the address right.
Visit PluggedInMag.com for current movie, music, and television reviews. PluggedInMag.com, helping you navigate through the maze of popular culture.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use on tap. We're talking about the recap of Friday's broadcast. Tracy Emin, the bed. I guess this lady marries a rock. This is the story about this woman that considered art her bed. And I guess she laid in her bed for days and days and days, and they found all kinds of stuff. And I guess now she's famous. Well, I guess she married a rock. The only interesting piece in the story that I saw that was of interest worth discussing was this headline. But it's my headline, because the mainstream press put it way down in the story, I guess. The culture is going mad, and you know it. The snapping of the American mind. healing a nation broken by a lawless government and a godless culture. Now, Kurt, that's worth remembering because this goes right back to this Easter thing I'm talking about. You know, they don't understand why things are going so wrong. Why is everybody so violent? Why is everybody so engrossed in sex? Why is everybody involved in... Folks, just go read your Bible. You'll figure it out in 5 seconds if you have half a brain. You'll realize that, you know what? When people turn their backs on God, they get involved in all kinds of sin. They lose liberty and their lives don't go very well. Everything turns into war and famine and destruction and meltdowns of every kind. I mean, how many years of history do we got to watch that cycle, Kurt? And when people obey the commandments of God, their author of liberty, when people live civil, moral, honest lives, things go well. But 6,000 years of the planet later, we're still just like debating going, man, I don't know why it's not going very well for us. Things are really bad, Sam. And I'm like, yeah, they are. But you know what? The culture's going mad. The snapping in the American mind is because we're simply turning our backs on the author of liberty. All right. Well, this guy was clean cut. He was 15 years old. His name was Alexei Rovanov, I think is how you say his name. He was born without fingers, but he plays the piano beautifully. That's kind of cool. I guess it's River Flows in You. Good music, man. Good stuff. Just amazing what people could do with their talents, huh? Anyway, The Clean Cut, by the way, is a daily feature that highlights family-friendly videos. Where is it on? KurtDeseretNews.com?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, good for them. They got kind of a little bit of a focus on the family viewpoint, Kurt.
I mean, that'll never really give them the big-time coverage. I mean, they got to do the blood and horror.
Wait a minute.
You know,
they're appearing on Liberty Roundtable as a result, Kurt.
Oh, good point.
I mean, you're talking about the big time, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, that was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt's point's well taken, though, that, man, see, unless it's just destruction and mayhem and, you know, division and conflict and bleeds that leads kind of stuff, they're not interested. By the way, we had on second hour last Friday, and I apologize. We don't have that archive available for you. We had on Sheriff Marty Gleave. Utah Sheriff Marty Gleave talks BLM Forest Service overreach. And Kurt Crosby talked about, do you know where Pittsburgh is? We're talking about Pittsburgh, Utah. It's a little teeny town down in Paiute County, Utah, way out in the sticks. But we talked about what is an armed militia, really? We talked about a good news story. Officers avoid using deadly force. Take man with a knife into custody. And we talked about how you need more than that. You need to do that all the time. The mainstream press needs to focus on it. Trump catalyzes opposition on the American right. Anyway, that's the broadcast. I apologize. We don't have the archive of it. We had some computer problems last week, ladies and gentlemen. And out of the 10 hours of Liberty Roundtable Live that we do every week, Monday through Friday, 2 hours a day, we lost an hour of Wednesday's show and an hour of Friday's show because our computer started to fail. And so even though I had a delightful weekend on Friday and Saturday, I worked on rebuilding the on-air live computer. That's now up and running, Kurt. And it's running quite nicely, I might add.
So you got some new parts? Or what?
I just got a whole new computer, buddy.
Well, you chucked that old sucker and just threw it in the old trash heap and went on your way, huh?
Well, no, I didn't go on my way. I had to rebuild the new one, Kurt.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Kurt just thinks that you just throw computers away and it doesn't take any work to put the new ones together. No, man, I had to do a bunch of work. It took me hours, Kurt, because I got to back up the old system.
Yeah, but you like that stuff. I mean, you know, it's like...
I'll tell you what. I enjoy computers. I don't like it, though, when it's like emergency and your on-air, real-time, live thing is down and you got talk shows coming up that you got to do and it's like high pressure, get it done now stuff.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like those people who, you know, they'll say every so often to you stuff like, man, I'm sure glad you're doing what you do, because, man, we sure need that done. I mean, I don't like that stuff, so I don't do it. And I mean, it must be just your thing, you know. I mean, and I always feel kind of like telling them, well, maybe if you participated more, we wouldn't have such a mess that we're in.
Yeah, I usually start singing The Sound of Music, a few of my favorite things, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
You know, computers crashing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I don't enjoy it at all, especially when there's those time crunches.
No.
Now, do I enjoy playing with computers on my own time when there's no pressure? Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying
that. You probably enjoy spending more time with your family, you know, even maybe going and seeing things around the world, you know, like others seem to find time for, you know, things like that, but there's no time to fix America or the...
Well, I did get to spend time with my son, though, because he helps me with a lot of these computer stuff. You know, like I was comparing some settings on the old machine because it's faster just to compare settings rather than try to remember everything that I did before. And so I had my son on the old computer, I was on the new computer, and we were matching settings and stuff like that. And, you know, so there's a lot of good to be had, Kurt. It's not like it was totally, you know.
See, you're pretty much just the same, just like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. And, you know,
except
Michael
I bet those four couldn't build a computer and get the on-air stuff together if they tried, buddy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Other than that, hey, we're pretty similar. Now, they're a little fatter than me, even though I'm not as skinny as I ought to be. They're a little bigger than me, too, aren't they, Kurt?
Well, and they got a little bit bigger staff, if you will.
And
you
know, stash of cash, too, I might.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, thanks. I want to thank all those who have donated to us, though, because you know what? It's your support that allows me to put a little bit of money in the kitty to where when the computer goes down, I can replace it like that. I replaced it virtually in an instant. We got it done. It was like, man, after the show Friday, I'm like, look, we lost an hour on Wednesday and an hour on Friday. That hasn't happened for literally years. I don't have any time to mess with this computer. That's the thing. Yep. It's like you don't have time just to keep playing with it and go, let me replace a part here or there. It's a real-time on-air thing. And it's really sad that I lost the Marty Gleave interview, Kurt. That's bad,
yes.
bad. Mm-hmm. And I apologize for it, but again, we do run on a thin dime. But all your donations truly make a difference, folks. I just want you to know that.
Uh-huh.
And we appreciate it. LibertyRoundTable.com, if you want to give a million, please.
That's right.
Would be grateful. Mm-hmm. Now, if you only have a half.
Million pennies.
We'll take that, too.
Million nickels.
Widow's Mite, we're in as well.
That's right.
We appreciate you. And no donation is too small. A lot of times people come back and they say, Sam, I'm only going to do $5 a month, man. That won't make a difference, will it? Oh, yes, it will. It'll make a huge difference. What if a million of you did it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Speaking of that, I was at Easter dinner yesterday, and I was talking to my family, and I was saying, you know, because we were talking about taxes, obviously, Kurt.
It always comes up on Easter. I mean, you
know. Heck, yeah, that's because in a couple
things.
Of days, everybody bites the dust. Right? Well, anyway, and so we were talking about taxes, and, you know, one of the members of our family is a CPA, and he's like, well, you know, you got to do this and this and this. And I said, you know what, guys, it's just a fiasco. We got this whole thing going on here. Everybody's like, yeah, man, I agree. It's horrible. I said, look, we could get rid of the IRS in about 5 minutes if we tried. Everybody's like, how? And I'm like, what if a million of us sent a letter in, a postcard every day to the IRS? They get 365 million postcards saying, shut down, you illegal bunch of thugs, immediately. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, when people got the picture, they're like, I'm in. Are you setting up that project? We'll talk about it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz, an evangelical Christian whose chief appeal is to fellow conservative evangelicals, often rebukes President Obama for refusing to use the expression radical Islam or Islamic extremism when discussing terrorism. A survey recently published by the Barna Group, an evangelical Christian research firm, suggests that people of Senator Cruz's persuasion might have cause for concern about defining religious extremists as the enemy. According to the Barna survey, more than 80% of U.S. adults use the expression very or somewhat extreme to describe people who use religion to justify violence, refuse some forms of medical care for their children, or decline to serve certain customers whose lifestyles conflict with their religious beliefs. More than half of the Americans surveyed considered a form of religious extremism for people to demonstrate outside organizations believed to be immoral, preach a religious message in a public location, attempt to convert others to their faith, teach children that homosexuality is immoral, hand out religious tracts door to door, or protest government policies that conflict with their religious values. David Kinnaman, head of the Barna Group, says that the findings illustrate the ways in which many evangelicals and practicing Catholics are out of the cultural mainstream. The secular point of view, which says faith should be kept out of the public domain, is much closer to the mainstream in U.S. life. It is for this reason, insists evangelical commentator Jonathan Merritt, that the term extremist is too damaging a word to be tossed around with such little discretion. If Barna's findings are accurate, observes Merritt, tens of millions of Americans may be at risk of being ostracized, sidelined, or banished from social acceptability because of their beliefs. Gino Emmerich, a baseball fan and street evangelist, was intimidated and threatened with arrest for silently holding up a sign bearing the inscription John 3:16 in San Francisco's Willie Mays Plaza prior to a game between the Giants and their perennial rivals, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Emmerich, who was not charged with a crime, filed a federal lawsuit alleging that police officers had violated his First Amendment rights by surrounding him and forcefully removing him from the plaza. Represented by the Rutherford Institute, a public interest law firm, Emmerich was able to reach a settlement with the city of San Francisco. Deputy Ryan Robert Ferguson of Florida's Pasco County Sheriff's Office was arrested by his colleagues on March 17th and placed in the same jail where he had previously worked as a guard. He is accused of forcing a 7-year-old girl to swallow liquid hand soap, then choking and hitting the child in the face. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this half hour is brought to you in part by ThePowerMall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, think ThePowerMall.com. Do business with the good guys. That's a phrase Joyce Riley coined, and we concur. ThePowerMall.com. By the way, LibertyNewsDaily.com. You heard that at the bottom of the hour. We play hard-hitting news all the time on your radio. Will Grigg busting out there. Thanks for the funding from some good, honest patriots and the support of WorldAffairsBrief.com. Joel Skousen and crew, thanks for the support from Joyce Riley and ThePowerMall.com. We're getting it done. Patriots are taking the new media, taking center stage to a new level, aren't we, folks? By the way, so I was telling you that they said, Sam, are you starting a project like that? You say, what project, Sam? Well, the one I'm talking about, the IRS. If a million Americans sent in a postcard every single day that said, shut down, you evil thugs, you're unconstitutional, and, you know, it would draw absolutely media frenzy like you wouldn't believe. It would literally require the IRS to go through every one of those postcards, because then what you'd start to do is pepper in legitimate issues relating to your taxes, right? And you could start to pretty soon. How would they handle 365 million postcards a year?
You know, they just wouldn't handle. At least it. I would say that, you know, the who was it that did that pink slip deal a while back,
yeah,
or
it's
whatever,
Webnet,
if I remember. You know, the at least the thing I liked about that was went to all those members of Congress, and I would say that would be the best place to send those things, just to maybe get some movement there.
Send a million of them to Congress?
Hold the tax, well, they do hold the purse strings.
But where did you send them?
Yeah, to the congressional individuals, because they're the guys that would vote.
So you'd have to find out who's in what district, and everybody'd have to know all the different addresses, and
well,
see,
it seemed like they did that, you know, you did the FedEx thing, and it came with a, you know, a letter to every one of the Congress critters, if you will.
And, yeah.
Yeah, at least in my opinion.
But you're missing the part, though. They would go to the post office, Kurt, at the government, at the Capitol, and then they just send it internally.
Yeah.
Okay, and so if you do that, you miss the whole fiasco of everybody along the way seeing shut down, you evil, unconstitutional thugs, all the way through the postal system, all the way from America, all the way, you know, the whole bit, right? The key here is you don't want to circumvent all that. You want to send it all to the IRS so the IRS gets a million postcards every single day.
And anyway, you put on there the for example, the return address of your maybe least liked neighbor, so that then they are
no,
the ones
Kurt,
the
you
IRS.
Put your congressman on there. Now there that's the place for the congressman. Anyway, your point's a good one, Kurt. That somebody could organize it, somebody could simplify it a bit. But the problem is, I want it coming from all over the country to where it really can't be stopped. See, if you do it at the at the post office at the Capitol, all you got to do is get the post office people to be like, "We're not accepting your million things today." We're not doing that, okay? But yet, if it comes from all over the nation, how are you going to stop it? Shut down the whole post office?
Good point.
Well, that's unconstitutional, Kurt. You can't do that. Yeah, it's an essential service, my friend. See, and so the goal isn't to create terror. The goal is to highlight an issue and make sure that we cannot, absolutely cannot, ignore the issue. And that's the intent. But anyway, my family said, "I'm in, Sammy. You're starting a project like that." And the sad part is, if I were to start it, I'd get like three people to do it. See?
Maybe 10. I mean, you know.
I doubt it. 10 might start out. They wouldn't last a month, Kurt.
Well, anyway, yeah.
It's tragic. And so that's why, anyway, to discuss or to finish the point. So my family's like, you know, or I said to my family, you know, that's why we've got the IRS. Americans can't organize to get anything done if they wanted to. She can't get it done. They're not serious. They're not dedicated. They're off on the next, party event? Right?
Yeah. You mean the next, you're talking about the campaigns and all that?
Well, whatever, yeah.
Whatever thing it is.
Oh, well, yeah, they're off talking about the next scandal. Mm-hmm. Let me kind of give you the point. Ready?
Yeah.
A, is Christie positioning to be Trump's running mate, Kurt? That's what a lot of people are saying.
Well, I saw that WorldNet Daily had that piece, but I just think, you know, that if you get the two Northeasterners, it doesn't make sense to me. A couple of white guys, you know, but I'd sure include like a Ben Carson if I were a Donald Trump, you know.
I think you're right about that. I think Ben Carson would actually do quite well. He'd provide a lot of the, what do they call that, Kurt? Yin and yang?
Yeah.
He'd provide a lot of that balance.
Good phrase.
To old Trump, if you will. All right, I got a cool news story for you, Kurt, that I want to talk about. I got it from theblaze.com. And you know what? I'm going to give The Blaze a shout out. I know a lot of times I'm critical of Glenn Beck. When I'm justifiably critical of him, I speak up. But I praise Glenn as much as I criticize him, Kurt. It's not all about downing somebody. It's about issues and principle. So when Glenn Beck says, you know, the stabbing wouldn't stop, for example, I got to criticize him. It's like, Glenn, stop that, right? But when Glenn does something right, I got to give him credit. And The Blaze covers a lot of good news stories, Kurt. Number one, they cover a lot more positive stories, cheerful stories than other places, by far. And I got to commend them for that. I really do. And I'm grateful. They also cover a lot of Second Amendment defense stories, Kurt, where, you know, someone uses a rape me not properly and they don't get raped. Or, you know, something like that. Yeah. Where they stop thugs and protect innocents. I dig that. And I commend The Blaze for doing it. If the mainstream press did a lot more of that, we'd have a lot more of an honest discussion about the proper role of the right to keep and bear arms and the appropriate use by good law-abiding Americans, right? And we'd have a lot more facts when it comes to statistics and that kind of stuff. Anyway, I digress. I'm just telling you, I appreciate The Blaze and their leadership in some of that. Well, they got this cool story, Kurt, that, again, you just don't see in the mainstream press. Headline says this. Professor. Now, just by that one word, Kurt, what do you deduct from that one word, professor? You first start thinking government college.
Yep.
Liberal as all get out.
Yeah.
Indoctrination, big expense, waste of time, got to go wrong, something's going to go wrong for sure, off the reservation. Okay, you start thinking all that, but no, ladies and gentlemen, this word professor in this case, I got to put in your mind a very positive notion. Professor holds former Marines fussy baby during class. Let me say it again. Professor holds former Marines fussy baby in class. Here's the deal, Kurt. This lady is a full-time wife, mother, and college student. Her name is Katie Humphrey. Okay? And she found herself in a predicament last week. She had a babysitter that she hired last minute. I'm sorry. She had a babysitter, but the babysitter backed out last minute. Okay? Got it?
Yeah.
And, she didn't know what to do. What do you think she should do, Kurt?
She's a woman without a babysitter.
Yes, sir. She's a mom. She's a wife. She's all that. She goes to school.
Yeah.
And she had the babysitter. Everything was all lined up. The babysitter backed out at the last minute. She didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's a Marine now, Kurt.
Oh.
So knowing that missing class was not an option,
she took the baby.
She quickly began brainstorming solutions, and she finally decided, I'm going to go to class. I'm going to hold my baby. I'm going to do my best to, you know, deal with it. I got to pull through somehow. So she placed her baby girl in the car seat, Kurt, as a responsible mom would do, don't you know? She rolled into class. I was thinking, well, I hope I can balance both, she said. But she didn't think about what she'd do if her daughter Millie got fussy. Well, that's exactly what happened. First 5 minutes of class, baby starts getting out of control, going, oh, this is horrible. But instead of getting frustrated that the student would dare to bring a baby in class, this awesome professor, Kurt, I know I'm saying awesome professor, I thought I'd never do that, but it's deserved.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Darren Willoughby. Anyway, Dr. Darren Willoughby, the professor, he went over to Humphrey and he said, can I take your daughter? She's like, sure. Within the first 5 minutes of class, the baby got fussy, but then the Professor Willoughby. Now, just listen. This guy is a professor, an associate professor of health, human performance, and recreation. I know that's a weird combo. That's why I'm pausing a little bit about it. But health, human performance, and recreation. Not to mention the director of exercise and bio-nutrition and such. Now, this guy is a professional bodybuilder, this professor. I joke not. He held the baby in his arms as he paced and lectured for about an hour. The baby didn't make a peep. I've got the rest of the details, thanks to the Blaze, in seconds.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so this is a pretty cool story I'm talking about right now. Got it from The Blaze. And I appreciate their coverage of good news from time to time. Professor holds former Marine's baby, Katie Humphrey, during a class. The Blaze. The professor said, "I didn't want Humphrey to feel uncomfortable because there's nothing to feel uncomfortable about," the professor said. Now, this is kind of interesting. The compassionate professor said he'd do it again. Now, listen, taking care of others in a time of need, or not even when it's a time of need, is a good thing. Now, listen to this. He says that this guy's probably going to get fired, Kurt. I pray not, but I'm just telling you. Just loving and caring about others, that's God's purpose, he said. Ooh, Kurt, I don't know if this professor's going to last. But I want to commend him for doing a good job. Glenn, Philadelphia, you're on the radio, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to respectfully take the oppositional, the contrarian stance on this one.
Of course.
Colleges these days are businesses. People go there. They pay a lot of money to get these. Relatively useless.
Yeah, remember when I started out talking about the professor, yeah. I made that point already, but you're right.
Okay, and I'm a caregiver by trade. I'm a nurse. We have to deal with call-outs all the time. Now, if this is a three-day-a-week class over a 15-week semester, there are over 40 of these classes, not counting test days. We have all these little recorders, lecture people can record. Lectures. Well, went to college. If you miss a class, you buddy up with somebody who's a good note taker, or somebody you have somebody take your little micro cassette recorder when you record the lecture, and you catch up. Okay, if I'm paying for class and I'm sitting in there, and somebody brings in a disturbance, number one, and also number two, it's just a dangerous precedent because now she can know.
I know, but hold on. You're completely off track in terms of the discussion, though. Your discussion is whether a baby should be there in the first place or not. And you've got a valid point that, you know, you can get a friend to tape the lecture. You can do all kinds of things. And maybe she should have considered those options. That's true, and I don't disagree. However, what we're talking about is a professor doing the right thing in a government educational system and him mentioning God in doing so. It's unprecedented, sir.
Doing the right thing. I don't think he is doing the right thing. We're just trying to twist the attorney into, oh, is this heartwarming? He's not a philosophy professor. He's not a preacher. He's not there to convey his philosophical values to the class. He's there to convey information about the subject matter of the course. Okay, it's not as so. And even if he's saying something nice, the point is, that's not his place. I don't like, for example, even as a Christian, I hear these stories about people who get in trouble at work for, witnessing in the workplace. Don't witness in the workplace. We use your discretionary off-work time, okay, to if everybody was using their discretionary time outside the workplace, they could get plenty of evangelism going on. You don't need to go in and annoy people in the workplace, okay? So, it's not this professor's place to try and make these more warm-hearted, caring people. That's not his job. He's in there being paid to get that information. The people are there to assimilate the information, test, get credits, and then go do whatever they're going to do.
I understand your point. Let's have Chris or Kurt chime in. I think that a little bit of kindness everywhere we go would really help out society, no matter what, though. And you know what?
He didn't
evangelize or anything. All he did was, hey, a woman's got a baby in class. Fine. He can either, one, say, get your kid out of here, ma'am, or he can try to help, and he actually tried to help, and I think it's a good thing.
It's not his prerogative to allocate other people. If there are 30 other people in that class, it's not, you know, his place to give away their class time, to appropriate their class time belonging to these other 30 people, and allocate it according to something outside the curriculum.
You want to chime in, Kurt?
You know, when you look at least the song comes to mind, you know, the one about a spoonful of sugar. Now, I would have changed it to a spoonful of honey. But anyway, this idea that just a little bit of kindness or a little bit of something,
well,
even.
It isn't about kindness, Kurt. It's a Mary Poppins
right.
song. It's not even applicable. You're not even making use of the idiom appropriately.
Well, okay. But remember, I'm just a country bumpkin, and I'm just saying that, hey, sometimes something nice is nice to find, even in a bad spot, government school.
If a student in the class hobbled in with a walker and dropped their books, and the teacher helped pick up the books, happened to be standing right there, fine. So, you know, that's fine. I have no problem with that as an action.
Well, hold on. I could come back and say, you're crazy, man. First off, this person shouldn't be dropping their books. They need to provide an appropriate way to get their butt in class and sit down and get out of the way so that we can go ahead with the dispensing of information. Hold on. With the dispensing of information that needs to happen here, you're wasting my time picking up somebody's books. I paid good money to get the information, and now you're wasting time and not delivering that information. See where we can go when we divide on everything, Glenn?
That's not the same, Sam.
It is not.
Because the student, a student who came in and was, you know, had a broken hip or something and was on the mend, had a right to be there and was there to be a student and a momentary setback from some dropped books.
If you got a bad hip, you don't have the right to disrupt class. You need to come early and take care of business like you're supposed to.
Deaf children don't belong in classes.
Says who?
You couldn't take the kid to work at McDonald's or the food store. Okay, it's a paid business meeting. Colleges are paid business.
I have one response that I'm going to let you respond, Glenn. You ready?
Yeah.
It's obvious why America has the problem we have today, isn't it?
No, it isn't. This is the smoke and mirrors. This is the difference between the ostensible appearance of something versus the brass tacks. Ostensibly, yes, it is nice to be kind and to help a parent. But it's happening in a context in which she shouldn't even be there in the first place. Okay, and then, furthermore, it's not the professor's prerogative or responsibility to convey his philosophical values in a course about physical education or whatever he was teaching. Okay, it's a bunged up context. It starts out with the inappropriate, and also again back to the dangerous precedent setting. You know, once that happens, I don't want, you know, people with 2, 3, and 4 people showing up with their kids now because a precedent's been set for this. And I don't want to hear professors philosophical, you know, espousing their philosophical values in my class. I want to learn
right.
about exercise.
You made your point. I appreciate the call, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. So I would respond differently, Kurt. I understand what Glenn's trying to say. I don't agree with we've set a precedent, though, and everybody's going to bring their kids to class. It's very easy to later say, you know, we don't really, kids really don't belong in class. I understood this one-time scenario for this lady that had a problem. I was glad to help in the situation. Now, he didn't espouse his religious beliefs in class to anybody. He was asked by the media about it later, and he said, yeah, I believe this is, God's purpose to bring about kindness. So he was asked on his own time in front of the media his opinion on some things, and that's where we get this other part. However, in class, I would submit to you the professor has a couple of choices when somebody does something they ought not do. And Glenn's right, she shouldn't have brought the baby to class. I'm not rewarding that at all. But the fact is, she didn't know what else to do. She did bring the baby to class. It wasn't the decision that I would have made. Glenn's right. However, once the kid's in class, the professor can either, one, make a big stink and kick her out and make it a horrible experience, make her mad. Who knows what the class would have done? They might have, started throwing rocks at the baby. Who knows? You don't belong in here. You know, that's what our society's gone to, right? So I'm not rewarding that this should continually happen or suggesting kids belong in class. What I am suggesting is she did bring the baby in class. The professor could deal with it several ways. In offering to hold the baby, he held the baby. The baby was perfectly quiet the whole time. And it turned out to be a win-win situation. She got the problem solved. The professor did very well. And everybody got taught as quick as possible. Any other solution in my mind at that point, once she brought the baby in class, would have had a less desirable outcome. Now, I'm sure that if this happened continually, the professor would say something, which he has every right to do. I'm also sure that if the baby didn't calm down immediately, that the professor would have said, listen, ma'am, I did my best to help. You're going to have to take your child out now, which is appropriate also. All I'm telling you is a woman had no choice because the babysitter backed out last minute. She felt like that was her best choice. I may disagree, but that isn't the point. She brought the baby into class. The professor helps out, does a kind deed. Everybody gets taught. And then the professor asked about it on his own time, and he's like, hey, it's just my Christian beliefs kicking in. That's all. All I'm telling you is that's very rare to see in our society. And we need more kindness, more patience, more service, more forgiveness, more love, more soft answers, turneth away wrath, more than we've got in our society. I'll tell you that right now. And sad to say, even when somebody makes a bad choice and somebody helps out, even when we try to praise the good in it, America's still at war, Kurt. Even that turns into a battle, doesn't it? Interesting, isn't it?
Yep. You know, and I will say this. We certainly don't want to, you know, take down the caller since he's not here to defend himself or whatever. But
no, but we let him have plenty of time to respond, Kurt.
Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, I guess what we could do, it's sort of like being able to eliminate shoplifting. There is one way we can do that, and that is you only buy things online. And in this case, you know, you could always have all education be online, and there wouldn't be any problems about taking your kid to class. Huh?
Well, and there's a lot of legitimate discussions we can have relating to this, Kurt. And that's why I said he's right. But you know what? The babies don't belong in class. I agree with that. What I'm disagreeing with is, can't we point out the good in anything? Now, what if somebody did?
I say we can.
What if somebody did drop their books, though, Kurt? They had something, you know, a replaced hip or who knows what, and they dropped their book. You know, do they have really the right to come in when class is about to start, not prepared, and delay the class? No, they don't. They don't have the right to do that either. If you got a bad hip, come in early, get someone to help you, plan in advance. If you can't make it because of your hip, you know what? Have someone take the lecture for you. The same things could apply here.
Do what Jesus would do, yeah.
Well, I think Jesus might pick
in
up the baby and
situation.
Continue teaching.
Yeah.
But that's Amen. Just my thought. LibertyRoundtable.com, this nation shall endure. I hope.